Getting a college degree can increase your lifetime earnings substantially, but even better if someone else is paying for it. I am Rob West. I'm talking about scholarships, of course. Every year, public and private institutions dole out about $8 billion in scholarships. Are you getting any of it? I'll talk about how you can, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So no question about it, college is expensive. The College Board reports that in 2023, in-state students at a public four-year school will spend close to $11,000 on tuition and fees. That's just for one year and doesn't include room and board. Students at a private four-year college will spend almost $40,000 on tuition and fees alone. With those expenses, it's not surprising that the average student owes close to $30,000 when leaving school. But you don't have to be the average student. Many organizations are willing to help you pay for college through scholarships if you meet their qualifications. My wife Julie had her own application assembly line going, and she was able to land $170,000 in scholarship money. Of course, that took a lot of work, but look at it this way. You can either put in the time and effort now applying for scholarships, or you can borrow and work very hard later to pay it back. I'm hoping that you'd rather do the work now, so I'll give you the names of online sources for scholarship money, and we'll put links to them in today's show notes at faithfi.com. So, you ready to get started? Here we go. Our first resource for scholarship money is FastWeb. They host more than 1.5 million scholarships, totaling nearly $3.5 billion. To get started, you create a profile at fastweb.com. A search feature helps match you to scholarships that meet your individual needs. It also keeps track of where you've applied, a handy feature. Now, the College Board is best known for testing materials, things like the SATs and other exams, but they also want to help you pay for college once you get there. On their site, you can apply for scholarships and internships. They have leads to about 2,200 programs offering nearly $6 billion in college aid every year. Another great site is niche.com. Like the name implies, they help you find not only money, but also colleges that cater to your specific major and interests. And of course, there's scholarships.com. They have a huge database with more than 3.5 million scholarship and grant opportunities, totaling almost $20 billion. You can browse by category or set up a profile to help you find scholarships specific to your interests. CapEx is another great resource. They have leads on $11 billion in scholarship opportunities. Their site also has a tool to help you calculate the odds of getting into a school of your choice even before you apply. Chegg is also another one. That's C-H-E-G-G. They're best known as an online textbook store, but they can also point you to about 25,000 different scholarships. And they have a top picks of the week feature to help improve your odds of landing one. Now, keep in mind that a lot of these scholarship opportunities are merit-based, meaning the higher your grades, the better your chances of landing that kind of scholarship. But what if you're more athletically inclined? Well, there's a site to help with that. Unigo lets you search for athletic scholarships as well as a wide variety of funding opportunities offered by specific schools and companies. And let's not forget about Peterson's, which is best known as a clearinghouse for information about colleges and universities. They also host about $10 billion in scholarship opportunities. Now, this one's interesting because we usually associate federal aid with borrowing, but the Labor Department sponsors a website called Career One Stop, which allows you to search more than 8,000 scholarships, fellowships, and grants, and that's money you won't have to pay back. One final idea? Check with the financial aid office at whichever schools you apply to. Sometimes they have scholarship money available, too. Okay, so we've thrown a lot of scholarship sites at you, and you probably won't use all of them, but you should definitely try at least a couple. Look for some that you find the easiest to work with or that best match your needs. Many of them will have other features that you might find handy, and again, we'll have links to all of them in today's show notes at faithfi.com. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Who do you go to when you're in distress? Regardless of who it is, I suspect what you appreciate is their presence and the words they use to comfort you. In Luke 24, two travelers were on the road to Emmaus, and they were distressed over Christ's death. Then Jesus showed up. He met these two, but they didn't recognize him. He walked with them. He taught them from the scriptures why the cross and resurrection were necessary. They enjoyed his company and invited him to stay for a meal. But during that meal, Jesus revealed himself to them. The travelers said, "Were not our hearts burning when he talked with us?" Does your heart burn when you hear Christ's word? He is able to provide comfort in your moments of distress. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, before we dive in today, let me just give a big thank you to those of you who participated in American Family Radio's Spring Share-a-thon, Living Waters. We are so thankful for so many of you, 15, 16,000 people that supported this work, and folks are continuing to do that. By the way, there is still time to support this work, but we just want you to know how grateful we are for your support of this ministry to keep American Family Radio and AFA and all the divisions and ministries underneath it strong in the days and years ahead. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. All right, we've got some phone lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. So whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life, you want a biblical, godly perspective from God's word as we mine the scriptures and pull out the big ideas and principles and apply them to your decisions and choices today. That's what we're looking for. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's begin today in Dunwoody, Georgia. Hey, Don, thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. My question is I have a trust that was left by my grandfather, and there was some legal stuff going on, and so the bottom line is the judge fired the trustee, and so I'm trying to see how I can go about getting another trustee.
Yeah. Well, this is an important role, obviously, that you need to have in place. Most folks either pick a friend, a family member, could be an attorney or a corporate trustee to oversee their assets. I would make sure that this is somebody who aligns with your values for sure. And then obviously they have to have the time to devote to properly manage the trust. They have to exercise great responsibility over the distributions to the beneficiaries. And some trusts, yours certainly may have specific instructions about the nature of the permissible distributions. That, of course, has to be taken into account and can be done over time. Expertise is important. So you want, someone who knows what they're doing, and an individual trustee without expertise could easily make a mistake or mismanage trust assets. And then, of course, there's the cost. In the case of a corporate trustee, they typically charge a fee equal to a percentage of the value of the trust assets. It is actually possible to have both a corporate trustee and an individual. So by naming co-trustees, you can have both professional management and decision-making input from a family member or friend, but it allows co-trustees can allow family dynamics to play a role and create a little bit more difficult administration of the responsibility. So give me your thoughts, Don, on what you're thinking in terms of what type of trustee you're looking for.
Well, it's, like you said, I want somebody that takes my values into consideration. You know, I would rather have someone that's from a Christian organization standpoint.
Yeah. But you're not looking necessarily for an individual like a friend or a family member?
Well, that's what we had before. And I want someone that's going to be legal, you know, and not have to go through these battles again. Someone that's going to, you know, follow the law or what have you. And
Okay. Well, I don't have a specific recommendation, but let me point you toward a couple of options. One is you could get a referral to a godly estate attorney there in Georgia, and I would contact a certified Kingdom advisor. You'll find a list of them there in the Atlanta area where you are on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click Find a CKA. And what you do is just ask them for a referral to a godly estate attorney. And then that person could either potentially serve in that role. If you find someone that you really just click with, you would know that they're, you know, they share your values and obviously they're skilled in this area. Or they could certainly point you in the right direction. So that would be option one. Option two, if you're looking for a corporate trustee, I would check with our friends at the National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. Just ask for a referral to a corporate trustee that would be really dedicated to serving believers and really operating from a biblical perspective, because you want that perspective. If you're going to hire a corporation, you want one that its stated purpose is to serve folks that really have faith values and want to implement that. So I would go in one of those two directions if you want to move away from either a family member or a friend that's personally known to you. Does that sound like that at least could get you moving in the right direction?
That sounds like it could give me. So you said faithfi.com.
Yep. And then just click Find a CKA, and you can CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor. And these are men and women who've met high standards in character and competence, and they've signed a statement of faith. They've been trained to bring a biblical perspective. Right. There are CKAs that are estate attorneys. We just have a lot fewer of those. So you might have to just contact a CKA and say, you know, I need a referral to a godly estate attorney. All Certified Kingdom Advisors will have one or more that they work with, and so they can make a referral.
Okay, and then the other one was ncfgiving.com.
You got it. National Christian Foundation, founded by Ron Blue and Larry Burkett, and it's massive, and they work in these spaces all the time, and they'll probably have a couple of suggestions for you on maybe one or two corporate trust companies that could serve in the trustee role that would have a biblical approach. So hopefully that helps you, Don. If you don't get where you need to go, give us a call back, and we'll see if we can help further. But thanks for being on the program today, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your calls and questions on anything financial. Quickly to Kansas. Randall, go ahead, sir.
Yes, I have a question. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
On CDs. It's my mother's CDs, and she always insisted on having, after her name, TOD, transfer on death, listed. But the credit union that we are losing has in their writing down on the paper with the beneficiaries, payable on death beneficiaries. Is that the same thing? I know wording legally sometimes.
Yeah, it is, Randall. It's a great question. They're just used typically in two different contexts, but they do the same thing. So a TOD, transfer on death designation, is generally used for investment accounts. You'll find that with brokerage accounts, stocks, bonds, other investments. The POD, payable on death designation, is generally used for bank accounts, checking and savings and CDs. But they do the same thing. They're essentially similar to naming a beneficiary on a retirement account, where they're not subject to probate and they will go directly to the named individual. But both the beneficiary designation, a TOD and a POD, will do exactly the same thing. They're just applied in different situations. I couldn't tell you why they use the different naming conventions with one type of account versus another, but I can assure you they accomplish the same purpose.
Okay, well, she just didn't want to have to go through the probate
system
and all that good stuff. So I
appreciate
your help. Thank you.
All right. I'm delighted to do it, and you as well, sir. We appreciate it very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. In just a moment, we're going to take a break. Hey, I want to ask you to do me a favor. I don't ask for favors a lot, but I've got one today. I want you to take a survey we're doing. It'll just take a couple of minutes. We want to know how we can better serve you on your stewardship journey. And if you'd give us that feedback, we'd be incredibly grateful. It's at faithfi.com/survey. faithfi.com/survey. Would you take a few minutes, maybe right now, to just fill out our survey and help us know how we can better assist you in your stewardship journey? Much more to come. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
You know, we live in one of the most prosperous nations in the world. Well, we do live in the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen. Yet fear, confusion, and guilt related to finances are common at every income level. And the cultural perspective on handling money is driven by materialism, greed, and envy. We need to counteract that, folks, with a biblical worldview that offers a radically different approach that results in freedom, contentment, and generosity. You see, when we go back to God's Word and we renew our minds with a biblical worldview, we can avoid the world's traps and live as wise and faithful stewards of God's money, in effect being a testimony to the world and using money as a tool not only to meet our needs and provide for ourselves and our families, but to enter into God's grand generosity story where He's at work and participating in that through our giving and even through our money management, allow ourselves to grow closer in our relationship with the Lord. Greater intimacy results when we surrender everything, including money, as a tool to God. It's all His anyway. It actually can grow us up in our faith as we work out our financial decisions every day. That's what we love to talk about on this program. We've got some lines open for your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Hey, let me mention, coming up later in the broadcast, Jerry Boyer will stop by, our resident economist and president of Boyer Research. There's a lot on the agenda for Jerry today. Want to talk about new inflation data that came out this week. Jerry's been involved in some significant corporate engagement work as of late, and we'll get an update on that. We'll ask Jerry about, the fact that the stock market is up on the year. Gold's over $2,000 an ounce. Is the market signaling the Fed's reversal on interest rate hikes and quantitative tightening? We'll get Jerry's take on that. And what about the dollar's reserve status? In fact, we had a call just a moment ago from Joshua, and he was wanting to know, is the dollar in danger of not being the world's reserve currency? And what would that look like? You know, there's plenty of articles out there about the dollar losing its status as the world's reserve currency. There's nothing new about that. In fact, it's, you know, come back around as of late just because of some of the most recent decisions on the part of Russia and China with some settlements in non-US dollars. We saw something similar in Brazil with a local currency settlement for a big transaction. Here's the reality, though. That threat could be taken more seriously if there was another currency that could step into that role. There just simply isn't today. But consider this. Nearly 60% of global currency reserves are in dollars. The euro is in second place with 20%. So close to 90% of all foreign exchange trades involve the dollar. The pandemic stimulus response was underpinned by a vast currency swap between the Federal Reserve and friendly central banks. But we'll unpack this a bit more. Are we on the path, at least, even if it's way down the road, to the dollar possibly losing its world reserve currency status? We'll ask Jerry about that. How long could it take if that's the case? And what would the implications be? So much to talk about with Jerry Boyer. You're not going to want to miss that later in the program. All right, we're taking your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. I do have a few lines open. 800-525-7000. Back to the phones to Arkansas. Hi, Jim. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. I am blessed to have no debt and no mortgage. I have about $30,000 in savings right now, and I have $182,000 in my 401k Fidelity, and I just rolled it over into an IRA. So is it better to reinvest in some of the same stocks that I just pulled them out of? I can tell you about those in a minute. Or should I just get a CD for about a year? Fidelity is paying a little bit over 5%, or yeah, invest in precious metal stock?
Yeah. Interesting. Good questions, Jim. I think that was a good move to roll that 401k into that IRA. And you're right. Now you have kind of the blinders taken off, if you will, from your investment options. Inside that 401k, you had a limited investment universe. You can now, inside the IRA, invest in essentially anything you want. And with a self-directed IRA, you could even invest in real estate or, you know, precious metals, hard assets. So, you know, you've got really unlimited opportunities here. You know, I think all of this really needs to come back to, how are you going to use this money and what is your time horizon? So are you retiring, Jim, or are you just changing employers?
I'm still working.
Okay.
I've also I'm getting a small pension from my former employee, and I've started to take an early Social Security at 62. Okay.
All right. Are your bills covered between your employment income, your pension, and Social Security?
Between those three sources, absolutely, more than enough. Again,
okay,
with no debt and no mortgage. Yeah.
Yeah, good. And let's say you were to stop working at some point. Would the pension and Social Security, would those two be enough given your modest lifestyle and being debt-free?
No, because I've taken $182,000 divided by 20, divided by 12, you know, 12 months of the year. So if I did it that way, yeah, then I could, but I don't want to start drawing down on that amount yet.
Right. No, I get that. So you would have to start drawing from the 182 if you weren't working. The Social Security and the pension wouldn't cover it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, because I'd probably want you to limit that to about a 4% withdrawal rate, which would be $600 a month. I mean, would $600 a month plus those two get it done? Just curious.
I could do that. I figured it'd be about seven. And when I divided it by 20 over 20 years, divided by 12, it was like $700 some dollars a month.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'd be comfortable with somewhere between 600 and 700. But yeah, the key is the longer you can wait, especially if this is invested and has the ability to recover, I think that's key. Should you go into the same stocks? Well, I couldn't get into the individual names and, you know, tell you whether I'd buy or sell those individual stocks. I'd probably, with $182,000, be a little more diversified than using individual equities. I'd probably use mutual funds, but you could go either direction. You could get diversification either way. The big question at this point, Jim, is do you want to manage this yourself or do you want to hire an advisor to do it for you?
I prefer to do it myself. I mean,
okay,
you know, I've done pretty good for myself.
Yeah. Well, I think the key for you right now is probably, you know, is to be invested, because I want you to participate in the recovery as it happens in the market. Because I want you to, as you continue to work, I'd love for this to be 250,000 instead of 182. I think the key for you right now is probably to be about 50-50 in stocks and bonds. And of that 50 in stocks, I would say you'd probably want to be in a good, broad, diversified approach. Hang on the line. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth, your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. We'll talk about corporate engagement. We'll talk about the market, the economy, and the U.S. dollar's reserve currency status. A lot on the docket today to talk about with Jerry Boyer. We've got a few lines open today during this segment, taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Before the break, we were talking to Jim in Arkansas. Jim has recently taken Social Security early. He's separated from his employer. He is working for a different employer, and that income plus Social Security early plus a small pension is more than enough to cover his bills, especially given the fact that he's completely debt-free, which I love the idea of you entering retirement completely debt-free. But he's wondering how to invest this $182,000 that he rolled over from his 401k to an IRA. And what I was saying is, I think the big idea here, Jim, is in terms of a high level allocation, you know, at your age, you'd probably want, especially given where the economy's at, I'd probably be looking to put, you know, 50% in stocks, 10% in gold, and especially since you mentioned you'd like to have a gold allocation, and then 40% in bonds. If you wanted to be slightly more conservative, especially how good this year is going to be for bonds, you could flip the stocks and bonds and go 40 in stocks, 10 in precious metals, 50 in bonds. But I think that's probably the right allocation for you, so that you're going to be a little more, well, let's say less volatile this year, because I think it's very likely we could retest our October 2022 lows as we get into the recession that most economists are expecting later this year. That will smooth out some of this volatility, because bonds are going to be a lot more attractive this year going forward than they were last year as interest rates were climbing rapidly. And the stock allocation will allow you to participate in the market recovery when that happens. And I think that's likely later this year or early next year. And then obviously, you know, it's always good to have an allocation of gold, a store of value, and especially, you know, it's a fear trade. So I think given that, that's probably the right approach. In terms of how you'd go about that, you could use an individual equities approach if you've been comfortable doing that. If you want mutual funds, I'd either check with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. They can help you with some mutual fund selections. Or if you wanted a faith-based approach, you could use something like the Timothy plan, Timothy funds, or Eventide, something like that. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I don't know if I can move it out of Fidelity, because I guess I could.
Well, you don't have to. You can invest in any of that inside Fidelity.
Oh, okay. Am I allowed to tell you, get your opinion on the four stocks that I had?
I actually don't give specific stock recommendations on this program, so we'd have to stay more at the allocation level. But, I think if you're more comfortable, which I know you said before the break, managing this yourself as opposed to hiring an advisor, you've obviously done well. I think, you could go with your own approach for that stock portion. I think the first decision, though, is what is that right allocation, the right mix between stocks, precious metals, and bonds, and let's get that set so that you're positioned well for the balance of this year and moving forward. Because remember, if you continue to work, not only are you going to participate in this recovery, but you have a decades long need for this money to last. You said you're looking at a 20-year drawdown. And, if you're invested properly with a portion in stocks, you should be able to sustain that $600 to $700 a month you need to pull out and, Lord willing, never see the principal decline. Now, in any quarter or year, it could slightly dip or grow. But I'm saying over the long haul, over 20, 30 years, you should be able to go home to be with the Lord and still have that $200,000 in place that you could give away or pass on as an inheritance if it's managed properly.
Right. I am 62, by the way, so
okay.
I figured 20 would be 82, yeah. So, do you think bonds, what did you think about the CD, the 5% CD?
Yeah, CDs are attractive right now, and you could use that for a portion. The challenge is it's just going to miss out on the opportunities that exist. Stocks are on sale right now. Again, if we're looking 20 years, you're going to do well, whereas I think the CD rates are temporary, and you could miss the recovery. And bonds are going to do well because we're near the end of this interest rate hike cycle, so the bond prices are going to rise, and the yields that are out there right now are very attractive. So I just think if we're looking long-term, and you've got some emergency funds separate from this, hopefully 6 months worth of expenses, then I would say I'd take the long view and build a stock, bond, and gold portfolio.
Okay, cool. I'll ask Fidelity about bonds because I'm not really familiar with bonds, but they can answer those questions, I guess.
They can, and if you want some resources to help you, again, you don't have to hire anybody and pay a management fee, but soundmindinvesting.org would be a great resource. The Sound Mind Investing newsletter in any of these categories would give you some wonderful opportunities for you to explore on your own. Mutual funds that are in the stock space, also bond mutual funds, and they could even give you some precious metal options as well. It allow you to essentially be a do-it-yourselfer, but with their kind of guidance along the way. So soundmindinvesting.org is the way to go on that. Hey, thanks for your call today, Jim. We appreciate it, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Jerry Boyer going to stop by in just a bit, and so we're looking forward to our conversation with him. Let's take a quick email. These come into us every day at askrob@faithfi.com. And we'll go to Brenda's question. She writes, I'm 62. My husband's 64. We have no plans to retire in the near future, Lord willing. We have some savings and investments. Have we passed the window of time to take out long-term care insurance? Is that the best way to finance any future long-term care? And Brenda, I'm a fan of long-term care insurance if it fits in your budget. 70% of Americans 65 and older will need long-term care for, on average, 2 to 3 years. And given the incredible cost of long-term care, the average nursing care right now is about $9,000 a month. And so if something is going to erode your assets in this season of life, it's likely going to be long-term care. It's perhaps your biggest risk. So taking out a long-term care insurance policy, again, if it fits in the budget and you can absorb price hikes along the way, which have been happening over the last decade in these policies, I think that's an option. We generally say the window is between 55 and 65. So you're at the kind of the upper end of that window in terms of the affordability of this. You could expect to pay, $500 to $600 a month for coverage as a couple on a policy like this. So I think it's just going to come down to, is it affordable to you guys? Can you fit it into the budget? If so, and you've got investable assets of probably $250,000 to $2 million, this is that's the time to buy it. North of $2 million, you're probably self-insured. Under $250,000, I would say probably doesn't make sense. But if you're in that range, which most people are in this season of life, I would at least check it out. And if you can afford it, I would say you go for it. Thanks for writing to us. If you have a question you'd like read on the air, send it along to AskRob@faithfi.com. All right, we're going to take a break here in just a moment and then back with Jerry Boyer to talk about a whole range of topics, the economy, the U.S. dollar. We'll talk about some corporate engagement Jerry's been involved in as of late and much more. Hey, by the way, I mentioned a moment ago, we're putting a survey out to our listeners that would be really helpful if you would be willing to participate in. We just want to get better at and know what you're thinking about as it relates to your stewardship journey so we can serve you really well. It'll just take you a couple of minutes. You'll find it on the web, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com/survey. Would you take it today? We'd certainly be grateful. All right, more to come on Faith and Finance just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your Heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Here on our last segment of the broadcast, we're joined by our good friend, Jerry Boyer. He stops by each Friday with his insightful analysis on the markets and the economy and whatever else I decide to throw at him. Jerry, great to have you with us this morning.
Good to be with you. What are you going to throw at me today?
Well, I've got a big list, Jerry, so I hope you've got your seatbelt on. Hey, let's start with the inflation data this week. Was it surprising? Is it encouraging? What do you make of it?
Not surprising. You know, I think you and I have been talking about this for a couple of years and, you know, just sort of following a principled approach to this. What I said to expect was that we'd get really high inflation for a while, which we did up towards 9% and 10%, that it would return to something more like normal, but still not normal. And that, of course, politicians would take a victory march, you know, victory lap, I guess, when it goes from 10% down to 5%. So what happened this week is we got some, you know, numbers in the vicinity of 5%. So it's coming down, but that's high inflation.
Yes.
So not surprising, maybe a little surprising to the forecasting community, how much it's come down, but the market's already been indicating, you know, that. So, you know, what that means is then we kind of have to go into the framework of how the people who run the economy think. They're Keynesians. So they're thinking, okay, well, we're beating inflation, so we don't have to hike interest rates anymore. So the Fed can go back to being easy or dovish or pumping money into the system, or at least pumping less money out of the system. Plus, unemployment claims were up. So that's another thing. It's like, oh, well, maybe we slowed the economy down too much. So markets looked at this week and they said, okay, inflation was lower than it's been and lower than expected, not lower than historical average, not lower than what it should be. It should be zero. The proper number for inflation is zero. You shouldn't steal any money from people. And when you inflate the money supply, you take away purchasing power, you're stealing their wealth. So the markets basically interpreted this probably correctly as saying, oh, well, the Fed's going to kind of declare victory now, a premature victory over inflation because it's only 5%. And they're going to go back to monetary easing, which is why the dollar fell and gold rose and Bitcoin rose. All of those are things that go together when the central bank is going to go into another inflationary cycle. So markets essentially said, oh, we think that we know how the Fed's going to interpret this. Hey, we won. We won the fight against inflation, and maybe we're getting a little too close to recession. So we're going to, going to push the gas pedal again on money.
Yeah. Do you think that's where we're headed? Because to your point, gold over 2,000 an ounce, stock market up on the year. I mean, here we are furling ahead toward a recession and the market's up on the year. Obviously, the market is expecting exactly what you just said, a reversal on the interest rate hikes and the quantitative tightening. Is that what you think we're going to get?
Yeah, I do think they're going to be easier than they would have been. I do think they're going to declare some kind of premature victory because I do think we're likely heading into a recession. And there's zero political courage in the face of a recession. I mean, here's the problem. Once you create the largest monetary bubble in human history, it's almost impossible to fight the inflation without also triggering a recession. And herein is the problem. We've given the Fed, go back to this, the dual mandate, right? The double-minded mandate. One is fight inflation by causing recession, and the other is fight recession by causing inflation. So they go back and forth from week to week in which mandate they're going to follow. Since this week inflation was low, the markets bet, oh, well, they're going to fight recession now. They're not going to fight inflation. Yeah. And of course, all of this is so weird because if you're just looking at this sort of guilelessly, which I think is the Christian point of view, good news is good news and bad news is bad news. But we're in this kind of messed up situation where the largest single investor in the U.S. markets is our own central bank. So we no longer have to understand what the economy is doing to see where markets are going. Right. We have to understand what the economy is doing and how the Fed will think about it, misunderstanding it through their atheistic Keynesian economic perspective, and how they'll react to it. So now all eyes are always on the Fed because it's the gigantic, because basically it controls markets more than any underlying entity.
Yeah. All right. Really helpful, Jerry. Second topic, I saw a really interesting conversation you and Brian Westbury were having on Twitter about the Treasury draining essentially its checking account at the Fed. The Treasury general account had $450 billion in it at the end of February. As of April 6, $140 billion. What is that all about?
Boy, you really are throwing the tough stuff at me. Yeah, this is deep monetary theory stuff. So banks have an account at the Fed, right? So banks, they deposit money. It's in reserves. It's at the Federal Reserve. I mean, it's just electronic, but it's electronically at the Federal Reserve. And when banks pull money out of that and they start lending it out, then that causes circulation. You know, we were talking about this after the quantitative easing and all the rest of the stuff, and people were asking, well, the money supply is going up so much, we're going to get hyperinflation, right, Jerry? Right, Rob? How many of our friends, in the profession were coming to us talking about how hyperinflation is about to come? Well, no, we're not going to get hyperinflation. Why not? Because it's going to be hoarded at the bank. The bank's going to hoard it in its Fed account. It only causes inflation if you let it out of its cage to run around. Yeah. If it's kept hoarded in these reserve accounts, then it doesn't cause inflation yet until it's unhoarded. All right, not only do the banks have an account like this, but our own Treasury Department has an account like that. The Fed is the Treasury Department's bank. Yeah. Well, what's happened is in the past year, it's unleashed about $400 billion, $0.4 trillion. So that now is wandering around. It's out of its cage, and it's causing inflation. So in the same sense that when excess reserves were taken out of the vault and allowed to circulate, and now the Treasury's taken its money out of the vault and allowed to circulate. By the way, who gets paid first? Government workers. Right. So what happens is they get paid, and then the money circulates to the rest of us, and then inflation occurs. So they have an advantage. They get to spend the money before it's debased the rest of the pricing. So any inflation that comes from this, they don't get hit with that because they spend the money before the inflationary effect of them getting the money first. That's called the Cantillon effect, and I'm probably getting a lot too technical. What it amounts to is the people who work for government have a huge advantage over the rest of us. They get the money first before the inflation kicks in. So that what Brian is talking about is yet another inflationary force. While we're at it, the other thing that's kept inflation from happening after, you know, all that QE stuff was money hoarded overseas. Well, that's starting to come back as well. So the things that were keeping inflation lower than you'd expect, given how much money supply creation there was, those things are reversing. And that's why I don't think inflation is going away anytime soon.
Yeah, these things are all in and of themselves inflationary. Interesting. Yeah. All right, Jerry, let's talk corporate engagement. J.P. Morgan's making headlines today. Record revenue on higher interest rates. Shares are up 7% today. You've been talking about J.P. Morgan for a different reason, huh?
Yeah, and by the way, it's important to understand, J.P. Morgan's a well-run bank. They're a highly profitable bank. I'm not saying don't invest with them.
Yeah.
But they have been engaging in some, and so, you know, I've got clients who are invested in them, I think for good reason. But they have been, in our opinion, or it certainly appears on the surface, been engaging in practices that are not consistent with our values or our virtues. For instance, canceling the bank account of Ambassador Sam Brownback, Ambassador for Religious Liberty, who started a pro-religious liberty organization. There's been a pattern of debanking, that is denying service or canceling service for politically conservative and or Christian groups. On behalf of David Bonson, who's an advisor who is an investor in them, I've been consulting with him. We've been asking questions, and also on behalf of other investors, we've been asking about this, and they just have not really answered. They're not really giving legitimate answers. So we worked together with David to put a proposal on their ballot. If you're not going to answer this question when we ask it in good faith, then we're taking the question directly to all the other shareholders. They tried to block that. They tried to say to the SEC, this is really just ordinary business. This, you know, this doesn't rise to shareholder concern. Of course, that's obviously wrong. You know, religious discrimination is a matter of fundamental social importance and civil rights. And that's what we wanted to ask them about. The SEC came back and said, sorry, J.P. Morgan, we don't agree with you on this. And so J.P. Morgan's going to put this proposal on the ballot, David Bonson's proposal, and there's going to be an up and down vote, and there's going to be a debate, and David's going to be able to deliver the case for religious liberty in banking, including in banking, unfiltered directly to the shareholders.
Wow. Yeah, that will be fascinating. All right, keep us posted on that. Last question, Jerry, and I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, but we've got a couple of questions today about the U.S. reserve currency status in the world. You and I have talked about this before. If we're replaced, we've got to be replaced by another currency. That's the problem. There really isn't a viable alternative, and 90% of all foreign exchange trades still involve the dollar. Are we on a trajectory for at some point the world to lose its reserve status, in your opinion? And if so, how far out is that?
Yes, but we're early in that trajectory. The yuan is not ready to become the reserve currency of the world, but it might be getting ready to become a regional reserve currency. So it's not all at once we lose reserve currency status. It's more like kind of a gradual thing. And yes, gradually, I think we're losing that because of our bad behavior. The only thing that saves us, frankly, is a lot of the world's worst behavior.
30 seconds. Would that be catastrophic for us economically? What would be the implications of that?
If it happened suddenly, it would be catastrophic. If it happened gradually, it would be bad for us because it would just be longer-term inflation. It doesn't have to be a sudden collapse, but it can be, and that's what happened with Britain. So sometimes it's a slow decline, and sometimes it's a sudden collapse. And once in a while, by the grace of God, it's repentance and renewal and a change in the right direction. And then you keep your reserve currency status because you're reliable and you're a covenant keeper.
Well, we're going to pray for that. Jerry, you did it. You tackled all my questions. Thanks for being here, my friend. Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks for my team today. Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Really enjoyed being with you today. Come back and join us next time on Faith and Finance. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.